She knew he did it, her friends knew he did it, and he even sort of apologized when he left that night. But no one would bring charges against him, even when years later she got cold, hard proof of what he'd done. This is the story of Shannon Keeler, the college lacrosse star whose attacker confessed to her over Facebook. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. I'm a longtime Reddit user, but I mostly use it to keep up on my pet true crime cases and, of course, my trash reality TV shows, like which Love is Blind couples got together later. But my husband introduced me to Best of Redditor Updates not too long ago, where people post someone's original content and then the follow-ups to it. One of my favorites I read recently was a woman who realized that her husband's many visits to his sick grandparents had actually been him hooking up with another woman. She found this out when a friend sent her the husband's Tinder profile, where he had used photos of the two of them, covered her face, and written, "This could be you." The updates were all of the things she did to move out of their home and ghost him while he was on his 5-hour flight home. Anyway, I found today's case in that Best of subreddit, when a survivor made a post titled, "My rapist sent me an Instagram DM confessing to raping me 7 years later. The prosecutor still refuses to press charges. What can I do?" The author was later revealed to be Shannon Keeler, the youngest of four and a high school lacrosse star who grew up in New Jersey. She had been hoping to get recruited by a Division I school, but the coach at Gettysburg College convinced her that she could actually have a life if she came to play for a D3 school. And she did. In December 2013, she said she was full of life and loving college. She was going home on the 15th, but she had one final exam on the 14th. She celebrated being done by grabbing pizza and a few drinks with a friend, then going to a frat party with more friends. While there, she met another woman in the bathroom who needed her help. They'd never talked before, but this woman said an older guy on the dance floor had fondled her. She hoped that Shannon, being tall and strong, could keep him off of her. So Shannon did help, but the problem is that the guy turned his attention to her. She said he was gross and creepy, and a male friend noticed this and offered to walk her home across the street to her dorm. The creep actually came after them and told the friend that he'd give him $20 if he left them alone. Again, gross. Luckily, the friend said no way, and the guy disappeared. Shannon did everything they tell you to do to stay safe. But the guy obviously found a way into the dorm, because after the friend left, he came and banged on her door. Thinking it was one of her friends, Shannon opened the door. She said she didn't think for a second that it would be this guy. Realizing the trouble she was in, Shannon immediately texted her friends that she needed them. "OMG, please help me," she wrote. But it was too late, and he assaulted her. And then he cried, saying he didn't mean to hurt her, and ran away. He hadn't even told her his name. Shannon told her friends, her resident assistant, campus security, her coach, and the police. She was still at the hospital when her dad arrived, getting photographed and swabbed and being given various medications to prevent infections in pregnancy. Her mom said they got the impression when they talked to the cops that they were sort of like, "This sort of thing happens so often on campus. How could we ever investigate them all?" So it was kind of up to the college. They had the guy's name thanks to other people at the party. He was a junior on the ice hockey team. And of course, those other people had seen him being aggressive and creepy that night. But the problem is that the guy withdrew from school and said he'd done nothing wrong, so their hands were sort of tied. How could they kick him out of college if he'd already quit? It probably didn't hurt that, according to Shannon, he came from money and a lot of it. Her family says they got a letter from the local police chief that didn't have a friendly tone of voice. It told Shannon she had all of 20 days to decide whether she wanted to press charges, even though the statute of limitations in Pennsylvania is 12 years. And hell yes, she wanted to press charges. Shannon and her family went hard on detectives and prosecutors, handing over all of the information they had and asking the authorities to gather witness statements and provide updates. 18 months went by where Shannon had to try to live her life normally, knowing her attacker was just out there going to another college with no consequences, while the authorities seemingly did nothing. Finally, the DA agreed to meet with her and her family, but he said her case would be hard to prove. Alcohol had been involved. There were no other witnesses in the room as the assault occurred. And the guy had moved to a different state, I guess the idea being that he wasn't even in their jurisdiction anymore. Now, I'm not sure if this was intentional or bad luck or if no one bothered to update Shannon and her family, but she apparently only found out in December 2015 that the DA had officially decided to not press charges. They closed her case and destroyed her assault kit. The interesting thing about the timing is that you only have 2 years in Pennsylvania to bring civil charges against your rapist. So not only were criminal charges not being brought, but she couldn't even sue him. But Shannon didn't want to give up. On Reddit, she wrote, "If nothing happened, I knew he would 10,000% do it to another girl, which is why I felt it was my responsibility to try to do something." But what could she do? Now, I really get that it must be incredibly hard to prove assault cases like this, and no prosecutor is going to waste the time and taxpayer money putting a case with no solid evidence in front of a jury and just crossing their fingers. But there were 95 complaints just at Gettysburg College from 2013 to 2019, and the DA only filed charges against 10 adults during that time, in the entire county. It just shows you how many people are potentially getting away with crimes. It's like, do college kids all need to be wearing body cams all of the time? But something amazing happened in Shannon's case, like truly unbelievable. She said she had tried her best to move on and accept that she did all she could have done. She met her boyfriend. She started working for a software company. She got engaged. She still had panic attacks when it snowed, and she still had flashbacks, but things were getting better. It was 7 years later, 2020, and she was on vacation with her partner. She checked her Facebook messages, something she didn't usually do, and found that a month earlier, she had gotten a request from her attacker. She said the messages from him clearly demonstrated that he was not well mentally, like saying that he needed to hear her voice and that he would pray for her. And at the end, he said, "So I guess I f***ed you. I won't do it to anyone else ever." You guys, she had him. He had admitted it. So Shannon sent the messages to the DA's office, and she said they were utterly shocked. But they still told her not to get her hopes up, which just seems insane, right? That's when she turned to Reddit for advice, where a prosecutor reached out for support and another survivor connected her to a lawyer. They got the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Rape involved, but that still didn't do anything to move the DA. So they went to the media. And finally, in 2021, the Associated Press published Shannon's story. Weeks later, the DA was forced to pursue charges, and finally, 28-year-old Ian Thomas Cleary was indicted. His arrest warrant was filed in June 2021. The problem was that he had left the country. Cleary grew up in Saratoga, California, in Silicon Valley, and returned there to finish college. He enrolled at Santa Clara University, where his dad was a professor, after he left Gettysburg. He got his master's, he worked for Tesla, and he moved to France to write, apparently, medieval fiction. It took 3 years to find him there, and the AP says he was discovered thanks to vagrancy charges. So it sounds like he could have been homeless or publicly intoxicated or acting disorderly, something like that. His lawyer said he was homeless at times and was completely unaware of the charges, not purposely hiding out because of them, but who knows. After an appeals process, Cleary was extradited back to Pennsylvania, and the now 32-year-old pleaded guilty in July 2025. His lawyer said he had severe mental health issues and was hospitalized in 2019, right around when he sent his confession to Shannon. His family didn't attend his court hearings as he put in his guilty plea. He said he sent his confession to Shannon in the hope of getting her forgiveness as part of a 12-step program. He apologized in court to Shannon and her dad and said he was committed to getting mental health treatment. Now, my feeling is that what Cleary did is so extra creepy because he tried so hard to do it at the time. He allegedly groped this other woman at the same party, allegedly offered someone money to leave him and Shannon alone, and then forced his way into her dorm room. He quit school and escaped punishment there, contacted Shannon to get atonement to make himself feel better, and left the country at the right time, either on purpose or by sheer luck. But you're telling me his parents never told him the authorities were looking for him back in the U.S.? Cleary could have faced as many as 10 years in prison, but in October 2025, he was sentenced to only 2 to 4 years. He could be up for parole in as few as 6 months. It was less than Shannon expected and less than she thinks he deserved. But now married and 30 years old, she seems to feel that justice has been served. She said, "I had been thinking about this moment for 12 years. It's just sad that this is another case in a long line of them where a victim, a survivor, was discouraged from pursuing charges against her rapist because people thought it would be too hard to prosecute. As it is, only 1 in 5 assault victims at colleges go to the police at all. They can feel ashamed or be worried about retaliation or not want to have to relive their trauma in court. But imagine deciding to come forward and then not be believed. To have to go to the media because prosecutors are too worried about whether or not they can get a conviction." Shannon said, "I am mindful that this moment came because I went public with my story, which no survivor should have to do in order to obtain justice." She added, "I hope that we as a society, the institutions around us, can make truly successful legal outcomes more viable for victims. It starts with listening to victims and making sure their voices are heard, even if the system's slow to catch up."
You also said that you forgive him.
Yeah.
What made you want to take that step?
That's a good question. Ultimately, forgiveness doesn't just set him free, it sets me free too, right? And I don't want to live with anger. And I believe in redemption as well. And he still has the power to live a good life and become a good person and do the right thing. And I hope he does.
I'm in awe of Shannon's bravery and persistence and hope her case moves the needle even just the tiniest bit. Thank you to the Associated Press for their coverage of this case and for doing the right thing when so many people refuse to. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.